know, another thing that people conveniently leave out is that Stormy Daniels endured death threats to her and her child, like her life, which was a good beginning indication of how this motherfucker was going to be, his MO. And those the lunatics who follow him, you know, that she was getting death threats. And to a certain degree, had to like go in hiding and shit. Like, that was something I feel like did not get enough attention at all.
No.
You know, this single woman, and...
Well, she's married now, I think, but...
But is she?
Yeah, but regardless of that fact, yeah.
Well, she was dating Avenatti then, wasn't she?
I don't know if they were. I don't really know if they were dating. I really don't keep up.
I thought they were bumping uggies for a little bit.
I mean, that's too. I just can't even conceive of. I know Avenatti was representing her, and again, like another shady figure from our past that we thought would like never rear his ugly head. Hopefully, we'll never see him again. I think he's in jail for a long ass time for committing a range of crimes. I'm just happy that at this point, we're likely to see Trump at least face one criminal trial before the election. And yes, it's the one everyone poo-pooed, but like, obviously, other than like the Mar-a-Lago documents case, this is probably the easiest one to prove. It's basically just paper. It's a paper trail. Carol, you okay?
That's the hard. I have an itch on my back.
Okay. Well,
I had to get a soda from vending.
Okay. I left us. Were you in the hall with no pants?
Okay, it's an audio-only medium.
She's not wearing pants.
All right, so Ty has her pajamas on, but like the bottoms are, I don't want to say skimpy, but... and so she's in a hotel room in Chicago where she traveled there for a family event. But she just, you know, up and left in the middle of the podcast, as people are wont to do around here, and went out to the vending machine to purchase an orange Fanta?
Yeah, it was either this or Pepsi or Mountain Dew.
Well, you had another option as well that wasn't on the vending machine, and that option was to wear pants. So
that's not going to quench her thirst.
That's just thirsty.
Hey, it's going to quench somebody else's thirst out there in the hallway with no pants.
It's kind of dead at this hospital, except for whoever stole my pizza.
And hopefully you're staying at a hotel and not a hospital.
No, I'm not. Nor am I staying at a hostel. It's an actual hotel.
Okay, so moving on. As sad as I am to move on from Trump scandals. Oh, wait, we've got yet another one. So the Trump campaign to prison pipeline has come full circle with Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, eyeing a return to the Trump 2024 campaign in order to help him navigate the Republican convention as well as fundraise for the election.
Oh, goody.
What
are his other campaign guys in prison?
The ones he didn't pardon?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because Peter Navarro, famous from Trump's 2020 campaign, in the effort with the fraudulent electors to overthrow the legitimate 2020 election, he is actually headed to prison today. Yeah. So, like, again, more evidence to support the theory of the Trump campaign to prison pipeline.
You think Peter Navarro gonna come out with cornrows?
No, but he's gonna come out with the extra large size butthole.
By that,
you know, you never know what people's particular taste might be, especially in prison.
Maybe discover that, you know, he's been denying himself.
Who knows? I don't even want to think about it. Carol.
Yes, my dear.
How familiar with you?
Very.
I don't even know what I said. Of course, you're very familiar with you. How familiar are you with with Mueller's 2016 Russia investigation by any chance?
Not super.
Not super. You weren't following that super closely at any point?
I mean, I've read at least summaries of it at some point.
Yeah.
Parts of it.
Did you happen to read his report by any chance?
Parts of it.
That's okay. Paul Manafort, obviously a blast from our past, regrettably coming back to haunt us in 2024.
Yeah, only because Steve Bannon isn't available. No, I don't know what he's doing.
Well, Steve Bannon he's running point on Project 2025, basically. So, yes.
Why is he not in jail? Contempt or whatever.
For some strange reason, the judge in his case decided to grant a stay of his prison sentence while he was out on appeal. So he basically gets to run around for free until his appeal is finished. And it's the same charges as Navarro, like refusing to testify to Congress, the J6 committee. Yeah, I don't know what specific thing that judge had going on, but this other judge in Navarro's case was like, nah, dog, you're going to jail. But yeah, Steve Bannon's still held. Like, Trump is getting the band back together from 2016. I guess he feels like it worked. If it worked then, it can work now. Although, again, like, we've...
Can he go back and make it so that people don't know he's a fucking loser and that he is being prosecuted for all of these...
Because putting the team back together that got caught the first time,
that's a genius plan. Yes.
Let me try fresh team. You know,
no, but I just thought we'd never be seeing Paul Manafort's face again. I was clearly mistaken. Yeah, you know? I mean, after getting indicted for money laundering and tax fraud and obstruction of justice and witness tampering. In the Mueller investigation, you think, hey, maybe like you get this pardon in 2020, right before Trump left office after losing the election. You're like, oh, Paul Manafort would stay out of the criminal enterprises, right? Wrong.
What's crazy is that usually, you know, you get in trouble and then, you know, you get you a second chance. You're like, oh my God, I'm just going to lay low. You know, I'm going to mind my business. Keep my head down.
None of these motherfuckers can do that, Ty.
Well, Steve Bannon's like, thanks for the pardon. Let me go do some more fuckery.
Well, case in point, let me tell you what. I think this went super underreported, but one of the people who were largely responsible for organizing the rallies on January 6th, and I think involved in some of the fundraising, was Paul fucking Manafort right after he got out of jail.
Yeah, well, when you think your goal is the only way, then you're just willing to do it. They're just willing to do anything for it. They're willing to double and triple down because they
have a planning into overturning the government. They seriously thought none of that shit was going to matter because Trump was going to be installed as president again.
So yeah, I mean, I guess if you're like, well, you know, someone comes to Paul Manafort and like, hey, Trump got you out of prison. We're going to need you to engage in this overly complicated plot to get him reinstalled as president. Like Paul Manafort is probably like, well, how could it go wrong?
But they really thought that they had so many fail safes. Well, if this don't work, we got this.
Yeah, if this doesn't work, we got that. Yeah. Look, I can tell you where it went wrong. Like if I were planning an attack on the Capitol after I lost the 2020 election and I was in the White House, and I'd be like, oh, you've got my private army lined up, huh? And then you look out into the ether, into the abyss with the MAGA army. And who are your generals on that day? You've got on the one hand, with the Proud Boys, you've got, a brown-skinned Hispanic white supremacist, which don't
Afro,
make
Afro-Latino.
Afro, yes, Afro-Latino white supremacist. Yes, that individual is likely not going to get the job down, the job done. And then on the other hand, with the Oath Keepers, you have a guy who supposedly graduated from Harvard, but he wears an eye patch because he shot himself in the fucking face. And these are the guys who are leading your coup, and you wonder why it didn't work.
Well, for one thing, the first rule about Ku Klub should have been you don't post shit on Facebook about Ku Klub.
Well, Ty, they didn't post about it in advance. How were they supposed to draw up shirts?
That's true. How are they supposed to coordinate?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly. So apparently we've got newly obtained video that shows the movement of the people who erected the gallows and noose on the western side of the Capitol on January 6th.
Go on.
From early in the morning, pre-dawn hours, long before the attack on the Capitol.
So what do they got?
So it's kind of a, it's kind of like security cam footage. It is reminiscent of the pipe bomber.
Okay, but they haven't drawn any conclusions yet that have been shared with us.
No, I'm not necessarily sure they've identified exactly who it is, but like one of the things you can take away from the video is just how fucking brazen they were. Like, they're just like wandering around DC with fucking wood and rope and just wandering towards the Capitol. It's like the sun hasn't even come up. So they're like the only ones out and they're like dragging this fucking wood thing around and then like setting up shop on the Capitol with the wood. Building gallows, got the rope hanging there. And like, look, we've all seen the infamous photo with like the gallows and then the noose. And then like, you can see the fucking Capitol building through the gallows. And you know how I know it's like, you've all likely seen it because it's in the fucking imagery of the podcast. That's how I know you've seen it. In case you're wondering how I came up with like the podcast image, it's not a metaphor per se, but it's like amalgamation of like it sums up the entirety of the Trump experience. It's like at the top it's got the gallows and the Capitol and the Trump flag. It's like, you know, the fuck around aspect of like the Trump experience, and then like in the middle it's like you tore a page out. And then you fast forward and at the bottom, it's got the Trump perp walk photo. And like, that's the find out portion of the Trump experience. In case you were wondering, you know, who came up with the imagery for the podcast. Huh?
Think about the gallows and stuff. I'm like, they went out there at like 6 a.m. Then the motherfuckers just left it there and then came back at like 1 in the afternoon.
And put it together. Yeah.
And it's like, just like they know, because you know the city was on alert. You got what, folks just walking by this shit?
They were dragging the fucking gallows out to the Capitol at the same time as someone was outside the RNC planting bombs, baby. Yeah. Like, you can't tell me that they didn't have all this planned in advance. Like, someone had to have coordinated so much of this for this to happen in such a, it's just a too concerted of an effort for not to have been organized by at least a handful of people who knew what the entirety of the plot was.
Night before, you got the war room. Then the next morning, you got the lynches. And then you got them just leaving that. Yeah, it's like, it was way, of course. Even there is so much. And here he is just took all the way over the RNC and just moved his headquarters to Mar-a-Lago and fired everybody. So it's basically just the Trump National Committee at this point. And that's, you know, it. But it's just, and that's what he's doing. He's planning shit out in the open right now. And the media's like, oh my gosh. Biden sure was mad during his State of the Union. Is he on Adderall? Is he on, these people are doing the most.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in the media. Like, I we beat that topic to death. It gets exhausting. But yes, there's all this other stuff. This obvious other, like, obviously damning it's just the deluge of shit that the media could be covering. They focus on the stupidest things. And it's like, that has to be like a choice, right? Like, it can't be an accident that every time like something crazy breaks with the Trump stuff, like, you know, they're covering, I don't know, Biden's sneakers. I don't know.
He's not even the one selling sneakers.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know, it seems that they only want to interview Trump supporters when they're like, yeah, 80% of Republicans still back Trump. And they only want to cover Democratic supporters when they're like, Biden's not getting my vote because he's Genocide Joe. It's like there's no equity in.
No, in the coverage. Like, I don't think mainstream media has interviewed a Biden voter since like the 2016 primary. Legit. Like, I don't think I've seen it. And, you know, I can't consume every hour of every single mainstream media. Like, that's impossible. But like, I listen to quite a bit of shit, especially on MSNBC. I ain't heard them talk to a Biden voter in years. Years. It's 2024. He's been president for 4 years. I mean, and then I say the 2016. I meant the 2020 proper. I haven't heard them talk to a Biden voter since like I voted for dude in spring of 2020 and on Super. Well, I guess it's still winter, but Super Tuesday of 2020. I haven't seen them have a single like I voted for Joe Biden and I still support Joe Biden voter on there at all in years. It's insane. So one last topic before we get to our shithole of the week award. So a former congressional aide for Lee Zeldin, who also eventually came to work for Paul Gosar, who is now turned social media influencer, was arrested for her role in the 1-6 attack on the Capitol. Isabella DeLuca was arrested last Friday on misdemeanor charges, including theft of government property, disorderly conduct, and entering a restricted area. She's most notably known for confiscating a table at the Capitol that was later used in an assault on like a police officer or something like that. And I just bring this up largely because of the implication of the fact that someone was brazen enough to attack the Capitol on January 6th and then go intern for the Republicans in Congress. That's fucking bananas. You know, as I'm getting like a barrage of complaints from right wingers telling me that January 6th was Nancy Pelosi's fault. Why one of these insurrectionists go work for the right wing nut jobs, huh? You got any explanations for that by any chance?
I just can't with them, though. Ooh, I'm full. Ooh.
Was your pizza delicious?
Absolutely.
Shout out to, you know, our guy, Big Lou, up in Chicago for making the dopest ass pizzas. Are you on the west side, the north side? What's that?
I don't know where Joliet is. I think it's west. Cause then when I asked the guy, do I go north or west when I was getting on the thing to get out here, he was like, oh, that would be, I think it's southwest.
Anyway, shout out to you, Lou Malnati's. Y'all are dope. Feed my co-host, especially when it's late at night and like all the good stuff was largely closed. I mean, there was like Popeyes and some burger joints still open. But yeah, taking care of Ty here. We need her in the fight. And, you know, we can't defeat democracy on an empty stomach. Sheets and Giggles is going to be very upset with us promoting another venture.
A competing brand? You mean pizza?
Look, you can eat your
Luke Malnati's. I'm ready to do a crossover. Send me some sheets and pizza.
I haven't heard from my husband in hours.
You pizza can consume a fair amount of pizza while sleeping, while laying on your sheets from Sheets and Giggles, as Ty's doing in this hotel room, although I'm sure those sheets aren't nearly as comfortable. Hopefully your husband is alive. In case you missed it, Ty is newly married. So congratulations again on hopefully what is a lifelong and love-filled endeavor. And if not, you know, if it doesn't last for the rest of your life, at least you got like a good 40,000 orgasms out of it, considering how much you appear to have been engaged in adult friend fronder level proclivities.
Invite me to do your wedding speeches.
No, please don't. But no, so back to
3-4 times a day, man.
Yeah, high quality problems. So back to Isabella DeLuca, like again, like, and I don't say this to brag. I've got like 200 and something thousand Twitter followers. How does this bitch got 300 and something thousand Twitter followers? Like, that's insane that this person attacked the Capitol, went to work for Congress, and then came out of it with hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers. It's bananas. Like, just.
Well, there's probably a good bit are insurrectionists and traitors. But, you know, the right wing, they love those bots, too.
Like, that's totally fair. They get behind.
The bots be on their side, so their engagement is probably up with the bot, you know?
Yeah, absolutely right. So the thing is, now that she's been arrested and charged, like, I don't know what the prison sentence will be, probably months. But, I mean, it's entirely possible that they might hit her with some more serious charges. And the fact that she was working for Zeldin and Gosar after the coup. So she's
the worst representatives at that.
Yeah, but like, think about it. Like, what if she enters into a cooperation agreement with the FBI and she's got some dirt on Republicans from having worked in their office? Because, like, again, like, there's no telling what the fuck they've been up to for the past 3 years. Like, she could be out here ratting out sitting members of Congress. That would be insane. Good point. You know, if I were Zeldin and Gosar, I would be concerned about what I may or may not have said around this person.
That is true, because...
Sorry, I got to go troll that Isabella person on Twitter.
You don't have to.
No, they're not.
I just want to remind her about the fucking around and the finding out.
Do it, Carol. Do it.
I feel like that's probably on there a bunch already. So that's for my.
I don't have TV, so I don't have cable. So
that's okay. You have a podcast.
But this is the first time that I've seen, like, for some reason I ended up on Bravo, and Vanderpump Rules, which was used to be one of my guilty pleasures. Apparently, they done figured out how to squeeze even more out of these kids. Well, they're not kids anymore because they all look like 65-year-old housewives from Beverly Hills with as much plastic surgery these 30-year-olds have had. But
totally unrelated, I can't believe that the challenge in Vanderpump Rules are still on TV. Anyway, back to whatever point you were getting to. I'm sorry.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, I got this, the sound is down, but I can just look at their faces and they're all miserable. That much I know. I can see Brittany yelling at Jax, and I can see Kristen crying because she's always crying. Sheena being Sheena. And I'm just looking, but it's their faces. They have all had so much plastic surgery. I was like, who the fuck? And I go, oh, that's Lala. And I'm like, fuck, that's Katie. Ooh.
I can totally see how this has enraptured your attention and distracted you from a coup against the legislative branch of the United States.
Looks like those women, they're only two steps. They could be invited to Mar-a-Lago. Let's just say the quality of work on their faces. They could be guests down at Mar-a-Lago for one of Trump's shindigs with
I've not had any work done.
No, you look absolutely fantastic.
Neither have I, though. My hands look old. David had to go over my ring, and I was like, oh my God, look at my, I already say I have man hands. And he always says no, but I got a full set today, pink and white. I haven't had my nails done in a really, really long time.
Nice.
I was walking around Chicago. I treated myself.
I'm generally against women getting plastic surgery, and not in like a judgmental fashion. Like, if you want to get plastic surgery, like, feel free. But like, a lot of times the shit just, it doesn't make you look younger or more attractive. It just makes you look like you had plastic surgery.
It makes you look distorted.
And it's like, yes, exactly. So it's like, why did you even do this?
I was looking at a video. Where was I? Oh, at the nail shop. And where they're just showing music videos. There was Gwen Stefani. Like, Gwen Stefani's in her mid-50s. And she looks fucking amazing. She looks so good. Because a lot of these women or girls or whoever, they start getting it so early, like in their 20s. And then it's like, once you start down that rabbit hole, your face isn't going to grow back into its old self. Like you're, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. You know, I flirted with the idea of Botox, but.
No, what's the worst really, and I'm sorry, people. Again, like, I don't want to just like disparage women's appearance, especially just not generally speaking, but just like they get the plastic surgery when they're young and then like they get older and then they gain weight. And now that they're like, they've got plastic surgery and weight gain, and then they like they pile it on by taking the Ozempic to lose the weight. And then it really makes their face look really strange. It's like, oh my, what, like poor decision making there. And the lesson here is like, if you can avoid it, and I'm sorry society puts these pressures on women, but like, please, for God's sakes, you're probably lovely. You don't need to have surgery on your face. You're
probably lovely.
Someone's listening to this podcast and they're like, hey, we were just at the Capitol with like an insurrectionist who worked for Congress. How the fuck did we get the plastic surgery and Vanderpump rules? I don't know.
Of Arizona's investigation into the fig electors.
Nope, sorry, Carol, we're not going to get to that one today. But like, as a callback from before we were started this podcast, when I was talking to Carol and Ty here, I was saying like my original kind of the blueprint that I had for the podcast was like and I don't know how many people listen to the show, but like it's one of my favorite podcasts / radio shows / sports talk shows, but it's the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gotts, if any of you are familiar with that. And it's kind of like, you know how if you listen to sports talk or whatever, like it's kind of got a pretty recognizable format, and then this show is like often a subtle parody of what a sports talk show should kind of sound like until they wander down these rabbit holes and they kind of just go off topic. And they just, once they wander off topic, the joke is they just continue to wander off topic. They like never bring it back to sports. Like if you listen to it, like it has all these rhythms of a sports talk show, and then they just get distracted and then they never go back to sports. And then they'll start a new segment and it'll start off on a sports topic and then it'll wander off. And then like the next thing you know, it's been 8 minutes and they haven't said anything about sports. And now you're getting like literally that right now on this podcast. We're kind of like a parody of what a political podcast would sound like. Anyway, so we're heading into the home stretch here with our shithole of the week. Do either of you by any chance happen to have any nominees?
Yep. Nancy Mace.
Continue.
Nancy Mace gets my shithole of the week nomination.
But you have to tell the audience specifically why does she get the nomination?
So, what's her name? What's her name? Catherine? Katie Mace? Nancy Mace. See how forgettable she is. I wish. So she goes on an interview with George Stephanopoulos, and he proceeds to ask her how she can square as a survivor to support someone who has been found guilty by a jury of having committed sexual assault, and then for defaming that person. She said that it was civil rape, so not really rape. Then she said that because there were no criminal charges, it wasn't really rape. Then proceeded to say that she was raped and she didn't press charges because of the stigma. And then she spent the next day melting down and accusing Stephanopoulos of rape shaming her. Then she turns around and claims that she received because of George Stephanopoulos. That's what pissed me off the most. All of these threats that they were going, that her daughter and herself were going to be raped because of George Stephanopoulos. Then she proceeded to fundraise, or at least try to, off of that, She is just gross, gross, gross on every fucking level. She's done women a disservice. She's done herself a disservice. Every survivor a disservice. She's just all around. I can't stand that woman. Her need for gratuitous self-promotion, even in the most heinous way.
Ty, tell us how you really feel.
It's just vile, man. It's really vile. I want her to fucking go away.
All right. So now that you brought all of that up, I absolutely have to co-sign your nomination. Carol, I'm going to assume.
Yes. Yeah. I was just reading about Nancy Mace.
Yeah.
If you could give a double shithole of the war, yes, shithole of the week award to one person, like she would double shithole because it was fucking disgusting and terrible. The defense again for supporting Trump saying it was like, first of all, it was civil. And then like, it wasn't actually the only reason the jury couldn't conclude that it was genital to genital contact is because Trump's dick is so small that she couldn't tell the difference between his dick and his fingers. That's literally, and that's why Nancy Mace gets the shithole of the week award. So closing thoughts here, Carol, I'll let you go first. If you have anything.
Yeah. Just remember to stay engaged and don't forget your local elections. We just had one in my town today. It didn't go how I wanted and it sucks. People didn't even like fucking turn up to vote and it's bullshit. Don't let that happen. Now I've got someone on my,
they should have been listening to the podcast because you're regularly reminding them.
Who's a Mooney.
Oh no. The Moonies are back.
The Moonies are back.
Are you serious?
Oh Jesus.
Upon information and belief, this person is a Mooney. Mooney. Oh, I've met her. She's nice enough. She's nice.
you know,
forced marriages.
Maybe we'll get lucky and they'll like, I don't know, they'll engage in some kind of suicide pact. I mean, not that I, you know, typically endorse the idea of people committing suicide, but
I would prefer she did.
What happened to all the good cult leaders? Aren't they supposed to be leading their people?
Ty, typically what happens to the most persuasive of cult leaders is they end up getting their followers along with themselves killed.
Yeah, like good old days, right? Like,
oh, so you're saying like, why don't the movies have a, yeah, okay, gotcha.
Dealing with these people. They have been on their spaceship already, right? All right,
this podcast has definitely gone off the rails, and I hope no one important is listening because we probably just got canceled. Ty, your closing thoughts, go.
As I started to say earlier, I'm just annoyed at the lack of creativity and originality for these MAGAs when they are responding to something. And they say it with the utmost of confidence. Like, this guy was like, oh, if we forgiving student debt, we're just passing it on to our future generations. And I look for those bud words and I go, future generations, huh? How many times have you used that phrase? And then how, and I'm going through and I go, you know, I'm pretty sure, I go, you pretty much studied every word of this till you got it down. So when you spout it, it rolls off your tongue so naturally that it sounds like you put some thought into it. You sound educated. I go, however, their use of verbiage verbatim always reveals that they're in a fucking cult. But it is getting beyond annoying. Like, it's no matter what, then they just always jump in with the same thing. Like right now, everybody's about, oh, Trump lowered insulin. Biden raised the price of insulin. Then he lowered it. Now he's taking credit for it. Those memes were going around yesterday. And I was like, well, actually, Trump's plan hadn't been fully implemented yet, because that's because I was trying to be rational. And I was like, you know, and it was also only available to seniors that had certain plans under Medicare Advantage and Medicare Part D. And for those that were at federally funded centers, when Biden felt like everyone should have access to insulin, including children, of which hundreds of thousands have type 1 diabetes in this country. And the guy responded, oh, great. So it's going to cost us 10 times as much. It was just so dumb.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And this guy was like, wow, that goalpost moved real fast. Like, because you were like,
You hit him with too many facts and his brain melted like Elon during that Don Lemon interview.
Oh my gosh. That, yeah.
Ooh. No, I'm sorry. I got you off track. Continue with your closing thoughts. Go.
It's just so, because then it's like, you can't talk to them rationally. It's like you just, I just blocked. And then it's like, oh, I triggered a snow, a libtard. So they blocked. And then it's a lose-lose. Just engaging. So just save your fucking brain cells. These people, and I know there are some people like Dan, who I love, and others who love to keep the hope that just reach out to your friends on the other side of the aisle. And they don't want to know better. They don't want to do better because that information is there. It is not difficult to find because all these motherfuckers had no problem finding every conspiracy theory when it came to ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and what is the rate of this? What is the survival rate of that? Blah, 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 blah. They spent copious amounts of time on the internet looking for that bullshit. But you're going to tell me that something you just can't go to like congress.gov and see that your representative voted against this bill, that they're in your face. Like when somebody says that shit makes me want to look it up. It makes me want to go, wow, did they really do that? Did that really happen? And then I'm like, shit, you know, but it's like they're comfortable in their ignorance that they are putting out there as intelligence.
Ty, this is continuing to sound indiscernible from Elon Musk.
Because he is, his arrogance, but it's not just that. I don't understand why that motherfucker has security clearance. I don't know why.
This is going to be an entire different podcast. We're just going to have to do another hour long episode of the podcast and it'll just be all your closing thoughts. Cause like this would be endless.
That's it. I'm tired of MAGA. They sound like talking dolls. And that's it.
All right. As for my closing thoughts, I'd just like to reiterate how when it comes to Republicans, like history is repeating themselves. Everything's coming full circle. They can't original anymore. As Tony Michaels was saying earlier when I was on his show, bringing Paul Manafort back. There's a microcosm of this specifically involving Paul Manafort. So when he was working for Viktor Yanukovych over there in Ukraine, and Yanukovych was competing against one of his rivals, one of their strategies to get him reelected was to present these trumped up charges against his opponent, basically these fraud, fake political corruption charges. They were pretty just based on little to no evidence. And one of the campaign strategies was like, run on this platform of lock her up. And then, of course, Trump imports that right on over into his presidential campaign in 2016 with the Hillary Clinton's emails. Like, obviously, Hillary hadn't engaged in anything remotely worthy of warranting criminal charges, but they just ran with the lock her up slogan anyway, and it turned into a thing. As that comes full circle and Manafort reinvents that, and Manafort gets indicted and goes off to jail and gets pardoned and gets out and immediately starts engaging in criminal activity. Now he's being welcomed back to the campaign with open arms. Is Steve Bannon here, who's yet to face his criminal sentence, is deeply involved with organizing Project 2025, where Trump will hollow out the government of the lifelong federal employees and replace them with cronies. Like that's coming full circle with the, like, he's literally going on trial in about a month here. For hush money payments. And then today we get breaking news of yet another illegal hush money payment. Like it seems impossible. Like the past is constantly repeating itself. Like things from the past are coming back to haunt us. Like I never thought I'd see, things from the Mueller report, come back to haunt us in 2024. But then you got the CEO of Chubb Financial, who's fronted this dude $100 million, being directly associated with Dimitri Symes, features prominently in the Mueller report. The fact that it's an incessant, endless circle, Like, I don't know if you've watched True Detective season one. That's my jam. But you, when your boy was like,
a great season.
It's really good. I also rather enjoy the newest season of True Detective. Check that out if you got the opportunity. I'm going to spoil it for you. But like a highlight quote from the original season was, time is a flat circle, and it feels as though that applies especially well in this instance. Like, the Trump campaign is a flat circle. And of course, like, if all of these things tend to repeat themselves and what's old is new, then you can only assume that if somehow Trump manages to win re-election, that he's going to kick off his 2025 the inauguration the same way he went out on January 6th of 2021 by trying to destroy what's left of our democracy. You just got to be vigilant and make sure we don't let these fuckers finish what they started on January 6th. And that concludes this episode of Part of the Insurrection.